God is our friend, and I felt like leaping up for joy. But my heart was doing that because it's an amazing aspect of God that I just want to look at this morning. And perhaps some of you were here last month. I looked at the aspect of God as Father, and I've had in mind just a few messages along those lines: God as Father, God as friend, God as shepherd, God as King. So there were a few aspects of God that I was just wanting to look at. And this morning, it's God as friend, God as friend. And if we could look to the Bible text, please. Again, it was back in John 15 and verses 12 to 15. John chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. And Jesus said these words to his disciples: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do what I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Shall we just bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we ask that you would illumine our eyes. Lord, nothing I preach today will be new. Lord, it has been preached before, and your word is from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. We have the fullness of revelation here in Scripture alone. But I pray that you would work in a special way and illumine our hearts to the aspect of God as friend, that the God of heaven could be friend to man. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, you would hide me today. Yes, Lord, that the words that are spoken today might alone bring glory to you, Lord, and that the man be hidden, but that you, O Lord, would be uplifted. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, God dwells in unapproachable light, and no one has seen God and lived. No one has seen God face to face and came back to tell the tale. It's an immeasurable and immense power that God possesses in Revelations, and this is speaking on God, and in fact the glorified Christ in Revelations chapter 1:14. It says that his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flames of fire. In Revelations 2:18, when John saw him, he saw that he had eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass. And again in Revelations 19:12, it says that his eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written there that no man knew but he himself. When you consider God and the aspect of his holiness and that he dwells in unapproachable light, the term friend seems almost at odds with that. With the holiness and the light of God, his radiance. If we could just look at 1 Timothy, actually, there's another scripture dealing with Christ, with God, and how unapproachable he is, dwelling in the light. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. Actually, we can start at verse 14. 1 Timothy 6, 14. Take up your swords this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks on the Lord and his nature, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Look at verse 16 again. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. You know, Moses saw the hinder parts of God. Moses desired to see God, and he was hidden. And we see the very nature and aspect of God as being holy and unapproachable. How then can he be a friend, especially friend to sinners? If holiness and sin are at odds' ends, they are at the direct opposite sides of the pole, if you were to take polarization, holiness and sin. And God, who is perfect in his holiness and dwells in unapproachable light, we read just in the gospel there, he can be our friend. That's quite staggering, actually. You know, the definition of friend, looking at the Webster's 1828, is one who is attached to another by affection. This is the definition of a friend. One who is attached to another by affection. One who entertains for another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity. This is opposed to foe or enemy, and the scripture, a friend loveth at all times, taken from Proverbs 17. So, for God to be friend who dwells in light, who dwells in such holiness, had to take a great sacrifice. And we see that in this aspect of Christ, in the aspect of his mediating work on the cross, we can become a friend of God. You know, this is staggering to me. This is just the way in which God reveals himself in different parts, as a father, as a friend, as a king, as Lord. It's just staggering, but it's all bound up in this wonderful plan of salvation that no man could dream up, that no man could think of or construct. But God had it prepared before the foundation of the world. God can be a friend to man. You know, this definition talks about entertaining for another sentiments of esteem, respect and affection, which lead him to desire his company. You know, the Lord desired the company of his disciples. You know, he said, I call you no longer servants, but I call you my friends. And he desired them. He desired their company. He desired to seek and promote their happiness and prosperity. And ought we not to do the same? If a friendship is a two-way relationship, ought not we do the same with our Lord, the Lord Jesus? So in this new covenant message, we look at God who's unapproachable. He dwells in the light. No man has seen him face to face and lived. And then we see Christ upon the earth saying, ye are my friends. Ye are my friends. That's amazing. In this new covenant message, and I want to look at that definition of friend from the Webster's, because I believe that we've lost a little bit in society. We've lost a lot, actually. In the term friendship has been lost, you know. You know, there's friendship and then there's Facebook. Put it that way. You know, there's media, and sure, you can talk to your friends, but then there's true friendship. You know, this friendship that we've just described, and the friendship described in the Webster's 1828, is pretty deep. It's a pretty deep kind of friendship. What Christ said, that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In that great love, he epitomized what friendship is, what true friendship is. And, you know, friend is a loose term today. It's a loose term in society. But the friendship that Christ displays and the friendship that Scripture talks about is different to Facebook friendship. It's a deep friendship. It's a power of friendship that you're willing to die. You're willing to die for your next one. You know, some people refer to God as their mate. He's not your mate. He's not your buddy. You know, it's a watering down of the power and the sovereign majesty of God to call him by those terms. But he is a friend. But in this context, a friend who loves you, who laid down his life for you. But he's not just there as some buddy or acquaintance that I just call when I need. One of many. No, he's a true friend. And you know what I found in my short life? You only really need one true friend. You know, you can have, you know, hundreds of acquaintances. But if you have one true friend, one true friend, it is enough. You know, Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's wonderful. That's an amazing, amazing truth. That you can have such friendship, such closeness. And you can have 100 acquaintances. But if you have one true friend, you know, That's all you need. And that friend can be Christ for you this morning. And if he is your friend, I just want to look at some aspects of that friendship that we hold dear to him. Now, in unapproachable light, God dwells. Yet Christ says, I can be your friend. In Romans 5:8, we have a key, one of the keys to unlocking this mystery. If we could please have a look there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 to 10. It talks about Christ and his sacrifice, how he paved the way, how he made the way. He made the way that God, who is holy and righteous and unapproachable, can dwell with sinful man. And even more, can become a friend to sinners. And you know, in Romans 5:8, it says that, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When we, who were sinners, for if we, when we were enemies, you know, Christ didn't have affection for us because we had affection back unto him. Christ died for the enemy, for the sinner. That was me in my unsaved state, an enemy of God, an enemy of the gospel. And while yet a sinner, he called me and he calls us and he's called you if you're saved to be a friend of God. You know, this is the mediating work of Christ. He stands in the gap. Again, he proves himself as the one and omnipotent God. Jesus Christ, who, you know, we can't sing enough about this morning. We can't praise and glorify him enough. It's all bound up in him. The plan of redemption, the work of the cross, the blood of Christ, is to bring us to God. And we can have friendship with God. That makes my heart leap for joy. Man, that makes me jump. You know, this Christian life, it's the most amazing thing if you possess a friendship with Jesus Christ. You know, man scoffs and man laughs. You know what man thinks about Christianity and Islam? Two groups of people fighting over in their invisible friend who doesn't exist. But I beg to differ. I beg to differ that there is a God, that there is a true and living God who reveals himself and has revealed himself on earth in the form of a man, that he could identify with you and I, that we could have a friendship unlike any other and unlike any man has ever known. We can have friendship with God. While we were enemies, he died for us. He offered his friendship and extended his hand of friendship to us while we yet opposed him in our heart, in our life, in our very nature as sinners. Well, you know, there's a particular scripture, a particular verse that we just looked at, and I don't know if you missed it, but in what we read in the main text, John 15:12, in verse 14 it says, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatever I command you." Now, it seems to me that there's a little condition in there, a condition. And you know, friendship is definitely a two-way relationship. You know, it's a two-way cord. It's a two-way cord. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Okay, so there's a condition. In John 14:21, Christ said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Friendship is great love. And, you know, if we love Christ, we will obey his commands. Now that's grace. That you love the commandments. That's grace. Because Christ has done that in your heart. If you're saved and if you love Christ, you will love his commandments. And you know what? Furthermore, he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. There's the connection. There's the friendship to God. There's the connection to the one who dwells in unapproachable light, who no one can come face to face before and live. There's the connection. Christ has done it all. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. I pray that Christ will do that. He's doing that. He's manifesting himself to me, revealing himself to me on a day by day basis. You know, his ways are so unsearchable, his ways so past finding out that to the end of my life, whether I live 80, 90 or 100 years, I will not get to the end and understand that fullness of that love. And I believe in eternity. I believe when we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, when we've been there 10,000 years, what's 80 years? What's 90? What's 100? To give our strength to another friend. Give your strength to Christ. Give your love and affection to the friend who's paid it all. When we've been there 10,000 years, I believe in that day, in that 10,000th year, we will still only understand a portion and still only be able to give a portion of our glory and our thanks back to the one who has this plan, this perfect plan of salvation for you and for I. You can be a friend of God the Father, if you are first a friend to Christ. To be a friend of Christ is to desire his company and to seek and promote his happiness and prosperity. Well, you know, in Christ, he has it all. And what can we give back to him? I mean, what doesn't he possess? But yet he just calls for you and I to give this flesh, to give this body up, to give our whole selves over to him and say, yes, I'll be your friend. I'll have no other idol. I'll have no other God on the God shelf, but I'll serve you with my whole heart. And in this friendship, he's led to desire our company, which is amazing in itself. That's amazing. But in the friendship that you develop with Christ, with God, you'll be led to desire his company. You'll want to walk with him. You'll want to talk with him along life's narrow way. He'll be a friend to you. Well, I wanted to look at an example from just quickly from the Old Testament, on a friendship which really stands out, and it's the friendship of Jonathan and David. Now, there's a lot of typology in this example of the love and friendship that we ought to have to Christ, to God. In 1 Samuel, chapter 18, please, if we could turn there, we see this incredible friendship. My youngest brother is called Jonathan. My mother named him that because he was supposed to be my best friend. Well, I don't see him very often. He lives in Adelaide, but I can understand her heart and desire to have an immense friendship. And in the proverb that we just quote, that was quoted before, Proverbs 18:24, it says, "There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, Jonathan, Saul's son, had brothers, but you know what? There was a friend that stuck closer than his brethren, than his blood relative. And that was David. In 1 Samuel 18:1, we read of this developing friendship. And it says this. Let's read the first four verses, actually. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his father's house." That's David. He let him no more go to his father's house. "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." Okay. Jonathan loved David more than his own soul. That's amazing. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Brings to mind a scripture to me, which Jesus said, that we are to love him with all our soul, with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Look at that relationship. We're to love Christ like that. If this is possible, that Jonathan loves another man who wasn't the Christ. He was a type of the Christ. David is a forerunner, as many others were. But he is not the Christ. In the lineage of David, we see Christ come. But here we have a typology. We see that Jonathan loves David as his own soul. Now that's amazing. In 1 Samuel 20, further on as well, talks about the loyalty of that friendship. The great loyalty that, you know, society has just left behind. Loyalty, loyal friends. You need one loyal friend. You might have 100 people on Facebook, but you need one loyal friend. One loyal friend who will lay down his life for you. And that might be in the form of a friend or a contact on this earth. But you know, if you don't have that, you've got Christ. You've got Christ, the friend of friends. You know, the loyalty that Jonathan displayed to David in 1 Samuel 27, beg your pardon, 2017, is such. Jonathan caused David to swear again or to promise because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. That's the fourth time we've just read. You know, I think scripture, when it repeats itself, wants to really drive home a point. That must have been an immense friendship. That was actually a type of the spiritual friendship that we can have with God. Because that was a friendship not of this earth. It wasn't based on just human feelings and affection. It was based on something deeper. There was a faith in God, in the living God. And that God is the same God we serve today. You know, 1 Samuel, and actually looking back in that chapter, 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4, Jonathan said to David, "Whatsoever thy soul desires, I will even do it for thee." Because he loved him more than his own soul, he could say that. Whatsoever your soul desires, David, whatever you desire, whatever comes to mind, to your heart, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, is our relationship like that with Christ? Do we say to our Lord in our quiet times, "Lord, whatever your soul desires," that's friendship. That's the friendship of the scriptures. "Whatsoever your soul desires, Christ, whatever your plan and purpose is for this day, for my life, what is your desire?" Don't be afraid to pray that prayer. Don't be afraid to give your all to Christ. "Whatsoever your soul desires, Lord Jesus, I am ready to do it." Came a time where Jonathan died. He was slain alongside his father. And in 2 Samuel, if we could look there, please, in chapter 1, we read of David's response. So the first five scriptures that we've just looked at here in this relationship were Jonathan's disposition toward David. But now what was David's response to the death of his dear friend? In 2 Samuel 1 and verse 25, we hear these words. "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, the weapons of war perished? I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan." There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. These two men had faith in the God we have faith in. The same God, revealed to us now in Christ, revealed to us in the fullness of time that Christ has come and revealed the great plan of salvation. We have a typology here. We have an example in Scripture of an amazing spiritual love. And I'll tell you why it's spiritual, because it passed the love of women. It passed the affections, even of natural affection of marriage. That's an amazing love. That's an amazing, immeasurable bond. The spiritual nature of this love that can be yours and can be mine, and I trust is yours if you walk and know the Lord and walk with Him. This affection, this bond, was such that David said, I am distressed for thee, my brother. Very pleasant have you been unto me. Your love was wonderful. Your love to me was wonderful. You know, people take this verse and use it for all kind of ill and for all kind of sin to justify their position and their sin. But where it says passing the love of women, that's one of the greatest treasures in the Old Testament, to understand that relationship. For it's the relationship that we can have with Christ. It's more than a temporal affection. It's more than the love that a natural man has when his child is born. The worst of sinners, when a child is born, will weep with joy, with human bond and natural affection. A sinner will even love his wife. But this love is deeper and greater and surpassing that which can be understood in the physical realm. It can only be understood in the spiritual realm, that Jesus Christ can be my friend, that I can take this cup today and this bread and remember him like he was here today and standing in front of me, because that's the affection and that's the love he has for you and for me. That which we're going to come to shortly. That bread signifying his body broken for us, that blood that he shed. What a love. What a friendship. Taking our mind back to John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What is our response to this message? You know, we need only walk with Christ, and love between us as brethren will be automatic. And you know, it's like that pyramid. We're on both sides, and the closer we draw to Christ, the closer we both come to each other. You know, because we have differences and we're all different. Otherwise, life wouldn't be very interesting, would it? God has made us all individual and very different. We're not bland. We're not the same. We have conflicts. We have issues. We have things. We're naturally on this earth in the form of Adam, but working towards that and attaining and pressing towards that mark. And we're looking to Christ, the mediator, our friend. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. He displays the greatest act of friendship today. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's speaking on his death now to his disciples. He's about to become more than just their master. Because you know they called him master. But he said, you're no longer my servants now. You're my friends. I'm revealing to you that I'm going to go to the cross. I'm showing forth my death. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But he's revealing them to them now that he's going to go and pay the penalty for their sin, for their enmity towards God, and for mine and for yours. And he says, I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And you know what? All things that he heard from his Father, he's made known to us now. We have the living witness. We have the testimony of Scripture. And we can open it daily and walk with our Lord. And even if you don't open it and you're in the car or wherever you are, walking along life's narrow way, walk and talk with your friend. He is a friend to you and to I, in greater power, in greater measure than Jonathan's was to David. Surpassing human affection, surpassing human love, a spiritual love that we can have. And you know, the flip side of friendship is enmity. And I don't know each one here well at all, but if you're not his friend this morning, turn to Christ. Turn to him. Because if you are not his friend by virtue of the fact and the very opposite nature of that, you're his enemy. We're either friends or enemies. And I trust that we're his friends, that all of us are friends. But if there was even one in here, one young person, you've not committed your life to Christ, one child, turn to him. He's a friend of sinners while you're in yet your a base state. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of the gospel and opposed his friendship, he loved us. And I want to close with those thoughts, with the thoughts of John. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ has done that for you this morning. Receive his friendship wholeheartedly. Open your hearts to his friendship. And as a believer, walk in that friendship. As a saint, walk in that friendship. Shall we pray? Lord, we just come to you and, Lord, I just had a short message in my heart this morning, and but I pray that it would mean so much to us, Lord, that it would just lift our hearts to you in this love, in this affection, in this friendship that you offer to all. And I pray as we continue this service and come now to the remembrance, Lord, of your body and in your blood, that we would understand that this is something that you've revealed to us. And that you've given to us even when we were opposed to you. And you say, come and dine with me, my friends. And I appreciate that, Lord. I thank you for that. I pray that you would help the saints of God this morning who are here in your house. I pray that you would help us all to just look away from this world. Look away from the idols. Look away from the false friendships, so-called. And look to our truest and most wonderful friendship of all. That's to God, who reveals himself as friend in the very nature of Christ, our Lord and our mediator. So we come to you now, Lord, with arms outstretched and our hearts wide open to receive you and your word into our hearts. Lord, I pray that that word that we've heard this morning might be as a seed planted, Lord, a seed that draws us into nearer fellowship with you. As we sung that song, Lord, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Draw us nearer now to thy precious bleeding side. We ask it for your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're about